with the court process that shows that the four members of parliament should be reinstated. And he wants heads to cool down for him to also do some consultation. And if you look at our standing orders, based on the standing orders the speaker quoted, he can actually recall parliament without necessarily it being triggered. Or if otherwise we think that all heads are cool, we just need 41 members of parliament to trigger a recall to parliament. For if we have 41 members of parliament, 15% or so signing to say that parliament should be recalled, then it can be recalled on that basis.
I heard Afenyo Markin made the point, I think you just repeated it, that you will give the speaker the room to consult. And I get the sense that the main determinant of when the parliament is recalled is the conclusion of these consultations and not necessarily a decision by the Supreme Court on the substantive matter.
But you see, the speaker was unable to proceed because there is a decision or which his decision was stayed. He acknowledged it. And when he was in the chamber reading his statement, he said that, and I have a copy of his statement, he said that yesterday I received a process from the Supreme Court, which a ruling from the Supreme Court pursuant to an ex parte application directing parliament to recognize and allow the four affected members of parliament to duly represent their constituents and conduct full scope of their duties of the office of a member of parliament, pending final determination of the suit, led by Honorable Afenyo Markin. So the speaker in this, that is paragraph 2 on his official statement that he communicated to parliament, is to the effect that yes, these four members of parliament, the Supreme Court have said that they should be reinstated, mm-hmm. where he earlier on said that they should not be reinstated. And so for that matter, he's unable to continue. Unable to continue in the sense that these members are members of parliament. And because of the controversy, even this morning, the general sense was as if we were coming there to have blows, to punch each other in the face or in the nose or something. But that didn't happen. So we agree at leadership conclave that yes, he's at the agenda house, Sinidie. It is not as a result of anybody doing minority trying to come and say that they are majority or what. We agree on these issues and what the speaker was supposed to say before we came into the chamber.
Yeah, so agenda indefinitely. But what, and I just want to clarify, this is important. What will determine when this indefinite recall ends and a recall happens, an indefinite adjournment ends and a recall happens? Is it the conclusion of the consultations or the determination of the substantive matter by the Supreme Court? What's your understanding in conclusion?
Number one, based on the engagement leadership have with the speaker, is for the consultation. That is number one. Mm-hmm. Because he needs to consult people. I asked him, in fact, at conclave, I asked him, Mr. Speaker, when exactly do you think that we'll reconvene based on, then he mentioned, which I can't mention on air, the number of people he wants to engage. We know who and who and who he's going to talk to. We know who and who he's going to engage. So he told me that, he told us that based on my question, when he's done with the consultation, leadership will be carried along and we can reconvene. But and when we are also satisfied that the people he has mentioned to us he's going to consult, when he is done, we engage him and we can trigger a recall.
Okay, so you'll give him latitude, but if it delays inordinately, you're saying you will then use the constitutional trigger to force him to recall the House.
Yes, to recall the House, but not to force him.
No, of course. I mean, that clause, once you get your 41 members and you get it signed, he has no choice in the matter. That's forcing him.
Yeah.
That's compelling him.
And then to also make the point that the speaker have not ruled in anywhere saying that the NDC were majority. Number two, the speaker did not say they should sit on his right-hand side, which will indicate that they are majority. The clerk at table did not change any name, sitting, and other things to say that the NDC should sit on the right. It was their own making. They came in with a mentality of fighting or a mentality of confrontation, a mentality of distraction. But when we realized that, we told the speaker that, especially when he told us he wanted to agenda House any day, and there was this fight about who sits on the right and other things. Then we said that, oh, no problem. If they want to sit on the right, the clerk at table never said they were to sit on the right. You, the speaker, you never said they were to sit at the right. We will go and sit in our offices, and then you can go in and read your statement and then Agenda House. And then we agreed. So we left the chamber from the conclave, the speaker conclave in the chamber, and we walked back to our office.
I mean, but Habib, you have 46 days of elections. Government business will suffer in the interim because now nobody knows when exactly parliament is going to be recalled. That is a significant blow to your side because obviously you bring a government business to the House for consideration.
But, Evans, the NDC have always had this mentality of frustrating government business from day one. Their intention is to make sure that Ghanaian workers' salaries are not paid because after the appropriation on account that the minister responsible for finance would have been able to bring to the House was to the effect that salaries could be paid whilst we go for general election, of which after the election, when the new government is properly constituted, then a proper budget can be presented. If that is not done, I don't think that we have lost anything. After 7th December, the parliament, this 8th parliament still have life until the 7th of January 2025. So after the 7th of December, whatever we still want to do after the election, we can come back and do it. I don't think that there's, or if we the consultation is done earlier than we think, we can come back because we just agree for this, for tempest to come down, for speaker consultation to be done, and so that we'll be able to know that maybe he did not request of leadership, and you could even realize.
And just for clarity, I may have heard you suggest that you don't mind losing all the time until the elections, if that is what it takes to have cool heads and to maintain the peace in this country, in terms of government business in the House.
What we are positive about is that whatever is urgent about government business to be done, it will be done after the consultation is done. And definitely, we, like I said, not everything as a leader I can disclose on air, but I can tell you that sooner or later, the consultation, when it is done and when the dust is settled, we will all come back. The most important thing is that the speaker has acknowledged the receipt of it. The directive was captured in his statement. The four members of parliament, they restated, we are 138, the NDC are 137, and when we reconstitute. And like I said, when you listen to the statement of the NDC the last time, then you don't even have a number to take a decision in the House. 138, you don't have it.
And Habib,
we can do business in the House without them. But because of the fact that they want to cause a lot of tension in the system, they want to project, to let it look like they can do something.
I'm just learning that it's possible that you've already started collecting signatures to trigger the constitutional clause that will compel the Speaker to recall Parliament. True?
That is not true. All the two recalls that we have done, as a first deputy whip, that is my job. My chief whip normally put those jobs in my hand. I call the members of parliament, I draft the memo, I get the signatures, and I haven't done such a thing. And my chief whip have not directed me, or my majority leader have not indicated to me that I should trigger a recall.
Roxanne, definitely a fair point there, that this obviously will have to be, we'll have to wait until this piece of consultation is done.
No, let me say this. I also have it on authority that they've begun collecting signatures. Look, Evan, these are colleagues who I hesitate to say this, but they don't like to be candid. Let me, Habib just said that the speaker didn't say anything regarding the fact that who is the minority or majority with his pronouncement on Thursday. But they went to court. Let me refer you to the ex parte process filed on Friday at 12:40 before the Supreme Court registry. Look at paragraph 8, subparagraph 4, supporting the affidavit, the affidavit in support of the application. It reads that the balance of convenience will tilt against the plaintiff applicant and the new patriotic party, the party in government, as the minority party takes over as majority party to parliament. This will thwart government business and by so doing make the country economically difficult in order to make the government of the day unpopular in an election year to score political points. Attached here too and marked as SBC is the weekly business agenda of parliament for the week ending 18th of October 2024. And because of this ruling of the speaker, the because of this ruling of the speaker, the remaining business of Thursday, the 17th of October 2024, was held in abeyance, and all other business of government in parliament is held on hold. Also attached here to a mark at Exhibit D is the order paper of parliament showing schedule of business of parliament which have been halted as a result of this ruling by the Speaker of Parliament. So who went to court to say that the minority has become majority? Is it not you? Is it not you, the applicant? And therefore you are asking the court to have that reversed? So why do you come on radio and say that you haven't gone to anywhere to say that the Speaker, as a result of his pronouncement, the NDC are now in majority? This is the affidavit that you swore to before the Supreme Court. So what you went to court to do was pure politics, having balance of power restored back to you.
My good friend Roxanne, we were talking about the implication of the Speaker ruling, of which that ruling doesn't stay. The ruling has been stayed. And I'm saying that
Habib, just give him a few minutes to wrap up. In fact, I just have a couple of minutes to do this. Yes, Roxanne.
Then again, Habib made the point that this pension of coming to the media with matters that or discussions that were held with speaker in camera is unhealthy, because I wasn't there. I'm not part of leadership. But if you keep disclosing matters that you had discussion with speaker in camera, then I'll be minded to say that they are not truthful, because I can say that some of the things you are saying, I don't think that the speaker would have said those things in camera. So don't come to public and be saying things, the discussions that you had with speaker in his chambers. That is one. The other matter that I want to conclude on is that this matter, all right, speaker today was called upon because NDC, we did not command our full numbers. We couldn't command the 137 because a lot of our members were not around. It is not because we lacked the 138, as it says.
And how did the speaker know that?
Sorry?
How did the speaker know that? That he didn't have the numbers?
When speaker was making submissions, didn't you hear him say that the table office had confirmed that we did not have the decisional quorum? We took attendance. They knew exactly how many of us were in the chamber. So it was not based on any number on record before. Speaker was speaking to the fact that those members of parliament in the chamber were not up to the decisional quorum, which is a requirement of the constitution. So it is not about the fact that speaker is, look, we let's be sober, all of us. Otherwise, this gridlock will end.
Okay. Roxanne Nelson, Defemekpo, thank you very much. Habib Idris is the first deputy majority whip. He denies categorically that there are moves and already on the way to collect signatures to compel the speaker to recall parliament. Although today the speaker had adjourned the house indefinitely. Now, talking about the business of parliament, though, there are some significant business before the house that they will be affected. And you may have heard in this interview with Habib Idris, who is the first deputy majority chief whip, that if it takes waiting until after the elections so that we can have peace, they don't mind doing so. But the suggestion is that they also reserve recourse to the constitutional provision that would get signatures to compel the speaker to recall the house. My parliamentary correspondent joins me on this and this developing story. And Kwiku, there are a few things that the house was scheduled to deal with.
Yes.
What are these? Because they will be affected.
So there are up to about 20 bills at various stages. In fact, new bills that were said to be laid. And as for bills, the new government that will come in 2025 can always take it up. But there are a few of them that are crucial. The first, the approval of a budget for the first quarter of 2025 has still not been read. And normally it would have been done in the first week of this November and approved before the House would take a break. That has still not been done. So key, if that is not taken, we risk a government shutdown from 1st January 2025. There's also the matter of the LI revoking mining in forest reserves. You will recall that the president promised organized labor that that LI will be revoked as soon as parliament reconvened. Parliament has been sitting for 1 week now since it resumed last week, and that LI has not been revoked. That was key. There's also the matter of an approval of $250 million Ghana Financial Stability Fund. That is also on hold. That has not been approved. And then $350 million worth of tax waivers. The tax waivers matter, that will simply not go away, is still there. It has not been taken. And then finally, the approval of two Supreme Court nominees, two persons that president appointed, because two Supreme Court judges will be retiring in November. The president was looking forward to fill that vacancy with these two new persons, and those two persons are also still in abeyance. The Parliament of Ghana is yet to take action on this. So these are the key business that are clearly in the air with the government struggling to get him through, Evans.
Thank you very much, Kwaku. Stay with me because there are further developments on this particular story. We're just 46 days into the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections tonight. The Attorney General has filed a statement, a second defendant in the substantive case filed at the Supreme Court by the majority leader on the constitutionality of the declaration of 4 seats vacant by the Speaker. Stay with us for that. The latest in this developing story tonight, we'll bring that to you. Also, the reconciliatory moves underway for the two independent candidates from the fold of the MPP to rescind their decision. And remember, this is at the heart of this particular controversy. Also tonight, here on Newsnight, Public Sector Workers Union lashed out at Fair Wages and Salaries Commission over its handling of negotiations of its conditions of service, describing the current approach as despicable.
To do things properly in this country with them over the years, since the Fair Wages was established. And I must say, it's very despicable how they do some of these negotiations now. And there's no way you can explain.
We'll bring you details. The scores of people are denied access to services at 45 state agencies, including NIA, NCCE, GMET, and the Electoral Commission. You want to stay with us because when we return, we'll also focus on the multiple layers of security checkpoints and scores of police and military officers with access tightly restricted. We'll tell you the security measures outside the chamber before today's military parliamentary proceedings. If you missed it, stay with us. This is Newsnight.
Kind of way, tell you sell the money from an
Everybody likes money, but what do we like more than money?
More money!
Join the Telecel More Money promo and win money,
more money,
and even more money. Simply opt in for free and reload your mobile and broadband and be the lucky winner of the 1 million Ghana cedis grand prize. Also win cash prizes of up to 3 million Ghana cedis in the daily and weekly draws. Opt in for free by dialing *500# or send win to 500, or you can opt in on the Telecel Play app. The more you reload, the higher chances of winning in the Telecel More Money promo. Keep loading, win, and be a millionaire.
Telecel, connecting energies.
Terms and conditions apply. This promo is regulated by the NLA on the Caritas Lottery platform.
Ajay. Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining, whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be spraying them away with holy insecticide spray. I go spray them away with holy insecticide spray. When I sleep, I sleep. Medana maga with holy insecticide spray.
Holy mosquito quell, holy multi-purpose insecticide spray. Ghana Krum Krum. For bulk purchase, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
Hello, my name is Mami Akia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time and sometimes takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family health care plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies, and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health health insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
Chief, if the election is won at the polling station, why is the final result declared by the EC chairperson?
Very good question. Let me break it down for you. For the presidential election, the whole country is one constituency. We add up the results from all the polling stations before declaring the winner. First, signed pin sheets go to the constituency collation center. Then, results from all polling stations in that constituency are added up and the constituency winner is declared.
So when we finish voting at the polling station, the results are taken to the constituency.
The results are forwarded from the constituency to the regional collation center. The party agents and observers are all at these centers. The regional collation center adds up all constituency results and declares the regional winner.
Yes. This process is long, Papa.
Yeah, that's not all. This is serious business. Regional results come to the EC head office. Party agents, observers, any media phone, woman you know, woman monitor. The EC chairperson simply adds up all the results from all the 16 regions to get the presidential winner.
EC chairperson, she don't go fit declare any winner she wants.
There is no way to declare a winner other than the person elected from the 40,000 polling stations. Everything is transparent.
Now, MPs, they are not so way.
That's straightforward. We collect the signed pink sheets from all the polling stations in that constituency and declare the winner right there at the constituency.
So if the party fails to properly collect their own pink sheets results,
no dear.
Blame yourself times two.
Nana four. Take note that all through this process, all political party agents and observers then did their feeling. Nobody they sleep. From the polling stations to the constituency collation centers, to the regional collation centers, and even the national collation center at the EC head office, all political party agents and observers then did their constant. Them open their eyes all day, watch everything. Feeling. Nobody go feel steal this election inside. Look, even EC chairperson self, no go feel steal this election inside. 2024 elections, it be frinching, it be clean, and with the whole time, no gululu.
Mangana wasundre pa memfajantumu.
It's Alive, your News 90s, Enjoy 99.7 FM, and I'll be welcoming your views shortly here on the show, 055-111-1997. I will be taking you back to Parliament for those of you who missed the action in the early part of the day. But in the last few minutes, we're getting confirmation that Attorney General has filed his own case in the Supreme Court as part of this process that has been filed by the Majority Leader, Afenyo Markin, and we're now reading from the processes he has filed that he is opposed to the speaker's own determination on this particular matter, vacating the seats of these four MPs, and he's very clear on why. And one of the key grounds of this, as far as the Attorney General is concerned, is just to state the point that some had made before. The one that if you read the Constitution as a whole, both the plain and the contextual examination of same leads to the conclusion that the Constitution intended to deny MPs the right to continue representing their constituents if, in the current term of Parliament, they leave the party of which they were members at the time of election to join another party or seeks to remain in Parliament as an independent member. A vacation of seat results, right? And that is the point that has been made too, that filing nominations to contest an upcoming election for a place in a future parliament does not lead to a vacation of seat. And this is the Attorney General's position on the matter before the courts now. And finally, the filing of nomination by a sitting MP to contest a future parliamentary election on the ticket of a political party when he had been elected for the life of the current parliament as an independent candidate does not result in a vacation of seat.
Well, if you look at some of the argument in these documents that have now since been filed by the Attorney General, It goes on to say that if you look at the court's original and exclusive jurisdiction, it is the court's original and exclusive jurisdiction to determine the constitutionality of any act or omission by any person in Ghana, and it's not ousted by any law. This is in the exclusive preserve of the Supreme Court, the Attorney General says. Irrespective of the circumstance surrounding an action, a genuine case for interpretation of the Constitution correctly invokes the jurisdiction of the court under Articles 2.1 and 131 of the Constitution. In this instant case, and you've gone ahead to raise some of this issue, he goes on to say that Parliament is for a fixed period as determined by the Constitution, and that a proper textual analysis of the Constitution, that is both the plain and contextual examination of same, will lead to the conclusion that the Constitution intended to create a vacancy of seat of an MP if, in the current term of Parliament, the MPs leave the party of which he was a member at the time of election to join another party.
And there's G, which is also a very interesting point that Attorney General is making about the subject, whether or not Parliament is subject to the Supreme Court or not.
Yes, he says every arm of government or agency of the state, including Parliament, is subject to the Constitution and to the Supreme Court judicial review powers of determining the constitutionality of actions and decisions by that arm of the or that arm or agency. Consequently, an order, decision, ruling, or determination by the Speaker of Parliament in contravention of and or ultra vires of the Constitution will render such an order, decision, ruling, or determination amenable to the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. So the AG, they're filing 37 pages at the Supreme Court to insist that the Speaker's determination were wrong, and that they agree with the interpretation or they agree with the argument that has been made by Alexander Fenyomakin and his lawyers in court, that the Speaker of Parliament clearly acted in his excess of his powers when he purported to interpret the Constitution. And that is what has been filed. The Supreme Court gave them 7 days as of Friday. It's only the second day of the new week. The AG has filed a statement of case. That will mean the Speaker of Parliament will have to file this also in 7 days. Then the parties will all file their joint memorandum of issues. Then the Supreme Court will set this case down for hearing. And then we'll finally get to hear from the Supreme Court if they can do this as expeditiously as they promised, Evans.
Okay, and then that obviously is assuming there is no somebody filing another case to review the outcome. We'll watch this space very, very closely. And there was tight security at the Dome, the Accra International Conference Centre, where today's parliamentary sitting took place. There were multiple layers of security in place, including barricades, checkpoints, and scores of police officers on the ground with access tightly restricted. Even sniffer dogs were deployed today to the precinct of Parliament. You remember, Parliament is sitting at the Accra International Conference Centre at the Dome. Maxwell Agbagba monitored events outside the chamber and now reports.
There's heavy police presence outside the precincts of Parliament. Members of the public are not allowed within the Accra International Conference Centre. Aside from members of Parliament and parliamentary staff, if you're not a journalist, you'll not be given access. There are different layers of security here with two barricades and checkpoints before you gain access to the Dome where the parliamentary sitting is happening. I've seen members of Parliament park their vehicles in designated areas and walk about 800 meters to get access to the Dome. There are quite a number of police barricades here as well. Earlier, police crowd control vehicle and a water cannon and armored vehicles were parked here, but they have since been moved. However, I still see quite a number of police officers on site. Director General of Operations for the Ghana Police Service, COP, Mohammed Suraji, is also on the ground. The police are making sure that people who have no business here do not get close, and they are leaving no stone unturned. Earlier, we saw some supporters of the New Patriotic Party, hundreds of them gathered here within the precincts of the main Parliament House. The police team here managed to send them a bit down the street, about 200 meters away. So when you go 200 meters down the street, directly opposite the Osu Military Cemetery, you'll find some of the supporters, some of the MPP supporters, clad in party colors, standing there in solidarity with their members of Parliament. Police officers stationed behind the crash barriers and barricades would ask you questions. If your vehicle is not marked, expect more questions.
If you missed it, that's what happened today in Parliament. And in the last couple of hours, we've seen a statement from the Ghana Armed Forces, because today, as we saw some military men, members of the Ghana Armed Forces on the premises of Parliament today. Some of them had sniffer dogs that they were using to sniff out possible trouble. We have a statement on this. James Abeji joins me in the studio with that.
Yes, Evan. So the Ghana Armed Forces first begin by expressing their concern over some media reports which suggest that the military was deployed to interfere in the proceedings of Parliament, and so went ahead to offer some clarification on what exactly happened. They say that, quote, on Monday, October 21, 2024, the Speaker of Parliament, Right Honorable Alban Kingsford-Sumana Bagbin, through the Clerk of Parliament, formally requested security assistance from the Ghana Armed Forces for routine canine and bomb sweeps of the chamber. This standard procedure is conducted on the first sitting day of the week, typically on Tuesdays, whenever members of parliament convene outside the traditional parliament house. It is essential to clarify that the Ghana Armed Forces personnel were not present at the Grand Arena to interfere with parliamentary proceedings. Their role was exclusively to conduct these routine sweeps to ensure the safety and security of the facility by checking for any explosive devices or harmful substances. They concluded by giving out their commitment to the welfare and well-being of all citizens, and the fact that they would always undertake assignments which aim at ensuring the security and safety of all and sundry, urging the media to stay away from such misinformation, according to them. So that's contained in that statement signed by E. Agri Kwashi, the Brigadier General Director of Public Relations of the Ghana Armed Forces, Evans.
Thank you very much, James. And a few of your messages on our WhatsApp console now. Abuchi Philip from Keita says, in fact, the Speaker of Parliament showed maturity this afternoon. I urge NDC MPs, they should put their foot down to maintain their position. Also coming in from Boko, Comrade Issa says, the National Democratic Congress indeed remains the majority side in Parliament, with Honorable Keita Latofosi as the majority leader, as per the Speaker's last decision. Musa Abattoir says, I commend the Speaker of Parliament for his bold leadership in upholding the Constitution and standing orders. Despite the MPP minority's walkout and the attempt to create confusion, the Speaker's decisive action has protected the integrity of our democratic process and the rule of law. Hashtag News Night. It's now time for sports, and James Ashen is in the studio with business, and Ashen is here with business. I'm looking forward to the Joy Sports Invitational Tournament, and so no wonder I was
representing
business, of course, for sports. What are you participating in? What game is this?
I'm a good football player.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to be, you know, we're doing interdepartmental competitions also.
Exactly.
So you're going to come up against me. Which position do you play?
I'm a defender.
Oh, exactly. You're going to come up against the best striker you ever encountered in your playing life, my good self. And so, yeah, you want to meet us there this Saturday. You don't want to miss it. What do you have in the headlines?
Right, so coming up in business this evening, economist Professor Lord Mains fears development in Parliament could heighten investor uncertainty about the economy, and International Monetary Fund pushes for further policy rate hikes to check current inflation levels in Ghana. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business, Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. and manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom, and my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm on for. Me don't want to see the brain. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mama lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
Efia, I've been thinking. Have you noticed the changes in our community?
Kajol, things are really different now. The MPP has really made a difference.
Exactly. Free SHS, healthcare, new factories. It's like a whole new Ghana.
And don't forget, electricity is so much reliable now. I remember when we used to go days without light.
True. The MPP has done a lot to improve the basics.
Ajua is a beneficiary of Free SHS. And now, she is in university.
And that's the kind of leadership we need. Someone who is focused on making things better for everyone. But if you are, still there are a lot more to be done for the development of Ghana.
Absolutely, Kwaju. The MPP has shown that real progress is possible.
On December 7th, let's vote to keep this positive impact going. Vote number one on the ballot. Vote MPP for a better and prosperous Ghana.
Imagine having access to top-notch educational resources, no matter your grade of school or location in Ghana. With the Ghana Knowledge and Skills Bank, you can tap into a vast library of resources, even in offline mode. From primary all the way to tertiary education, we've got you covered. As a student, you have access to past questions from 1990 to date for BEC, WASI, and tertiary test examinations. As a teacher or lecturer, you can hold virtual classes for your students and share your lecture notes for their use. As an educator or researcher, you can publish your books or articles for public consumption. And lastly, you have your own studies teacher or AI tutor who is trained to teach you in any subject topic till you fully understand. So whether you're a student, educator, content creator, researcher, or entrepreneur, the Ghana Knowledge and Skills Bank was made just for you. Sign up today at www.gksb.gov.gh. The Ghana Knowledge and Skills Bank, where learning has no limits and the possibilities are endless. This project was financed by the World Bank under the erstwhile e-Transform project at the Ministry of Communications and Digitalization.
The luckiest
*712# hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Coma and Nanfufua, a dialing *712# hash and found no regrets. A side coma investors are a striking goal. A coma health workers are a diagnosis of luck with precision. A side coma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. They say a coma passionate farmer or also ain't even containing a joy. A fake to the seamstress or turning a hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a coma, if you say your next big win is right here.
*712# and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial *712# to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest.
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. I am James Ish, and let's settle for the details. First off, Economist Professor Lord Mensa is worried development in Parliament could heighten investor uncertainty about the direction of the economy. It follows the NDC caucus in Parliament resolved to take over the majority side of Parliament. Professor Mensa says the development breeds more uncertainty about critical regulations that were supposed to be passed by the House and how that could affect current economic recovery.
Parliament plays a major role when it comes to approvals of our expenditure lines and, you know, approvals of some revenue lines and all those. So if it turns out that, you know, as a result of this power shift, things are not being settled, of course, the investor community are going to see it to be more or less a bad signal, you know, which at the end of the day will impede, you know, their decisions as to whether to settle on Ghana or move elsewhere. Under a democratic dispensation, everything has to do with timelines. And we are moving into November, which we have to start concluding on our budget lines for next year. So if this derails, I mean, which at the end of the day may, you know, affect, you know, I mean, committee composition here and there, it may affect, you know, our budget lines next year. And from there on, the uncertainty continues, I would say.
Professor Lord Mensa, as an economist, now the IMF is making a case for further hikes in Bank of Ghana's policy rate to check the high levels of inflation in the country. The central bank at its last meeting in September cut its key lending rate to 27%. This is despite inflation going up marginally to hit 21.4% for the month of September. Speaking at the launch of the World Economic Outlook report in the United States of America, Deputy Director Jean-Marc Nuttall noted that some actions need to be taken by countries like Ghana.
Inflation stabilizing in some countries, going down, reaching level close to the target. So, but half of them are still large distance from the target, and a third of them are still having double digit inflation. In terms of growth, as Pierre Olivier mentioned, it's quite uneven, but it remains too low, and the debt service is correspondingly still high in the region. So the challenges are still there. There's been some progress. So in terms of the recommendation, in countries where inflation is very high, you would recommend tight monetary policy, and in some cases, when possible, help by consolidation on the fiscal side.
Jean-Marc Nuttall, as Deputy Director at the IMF, speaking at the launch of the World Economic Outlook report in Washington, D.C., on the sidelines of the IMF World Bank spring meetings. Now, the Association of Ghana Industries is calling for an improvement in Ghana's macroeconomic indicators. Chief Executive Seth Chumakobwa says this could aid in sustaining the industry sector growth of 8.2% recorded in the second quarter of 2024. Speaking to Joy Business at the Inclusive Business and Green Business Forum, he called for a conducive business environment for small businesses to thrive.
So many factors contribute to this. The key part of it is macroeconomic stability. Normally, what happens is that when we have macroeconomic stability and businesses can predict the business environment in terms of the economic arrangement, it could be exchange rates, it could be inflation, it could be interest rates. If we have it in a certain stable manner, businesses can plan, and on the basis of that plan, they can invest. And as they invest, you see the numbers growing. So it is very important that we have stability, and I can say that if you compare this year to the recent previous years, this year has been reasonably stable until recently, that we had a bit of the CD depreciation coming in a little bit.
Seth Chumakobwa is the Chief Executive Officer for the Association of Ghana Industries. Next, an advisor at the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Steve Opatas, has said that the central bank's 6% positive real interest rate is the highest in West Africa, making Ghana's financial market an attractive investment destination. Speaking on the Beyond the Numbers show, he emphasized the country's competitive edge in the region.
reduce the rates from 29% to 27%. But inflation has also come down. So if you look at, I think inflation just went up a little bit, 21.4. So if you look at the real rates we are offering in our space, it's about 6%.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very high. You don't get that in many markets. Actually, if you comb through Africa, you may not even find real rates of 6%. So we believe that if you still invest even in our open market operations or you invest in the silver markets, you are being offered positive real rates compared to where inflation is.
Dr. Steve Opata is an advisor at the Bank of Ghana. Finally, the Social Security and National Insurance Trust has reiterated its ability to pay pension benefits beyond 2036 due to its strong financial performance over the last few years. According to the trust, it has improved in financial performance and increased investment income in order to take off its future obligations. Speaking at the maiden SNET symposium in Accra, Chief Actuary at SNET, Joseph Poku, disclosed that the trust is in position to pay pension benefits. He was responding to an earlier report by the International Labour Organization on the sustainability of the trust.
What's like that in isolation? You take it, it's a technical report, and those experts here will know that you don't take one aspect of it and then go and run with it, go to town with it and say the scheme is collapsing. Nothing can be further from the truth. So the reports, as I said, is not different from the previous ones. They always come out and they give you suggestions and they give you recommendations. And you work at it, and I've demonstrated to you what we've done so far after the reports have been produced. And that is why we veered off and we are still in a position to pay you for life, to pay you to 120 years, just like the other pensioner was before he died a couple of months or a couple of weeks ago.
And that's all for business on Newsnight with me, James Ishen. Over to you, Evans.
Thank you very much, James. You're so live here on Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM, and I'll take a few of your messages on our WhatsApp console pretty shortly at 055-1111-997 is the WhatsApp line. I'm inviting you to send us messages. I will share it pretty shortly. And the Public Sector Workers Union has scaled up its fight for better conditions of service with scathing criticism of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission's handling of negotiations for better conditions of service. The strike, which enters day two, has begun biting at some state agencies. Ghanaians who showed up at the headquarters of the National Identification Authority with hopes of securing their Ghana cards have been left disappointed after they were turned away due to strike by the Public Services Workers Union, of which workers of the NIA are members. Most of them expressed their surprise at the strike when they only found out after getting to the NIA headquarters. Listen to some of them.
I just came here just a few minutes ago, but I've seen that a lot of people are standing here all because there is strike. So my question is the Ghana card, is it good? When it came, is it good or is it not good? Because every transaction you want to do now, they say Ghana card. Realize the case, I came and they said they are on strike. So I don't know what to do. We are stranded here. So we are pleading with the government to do something about it. Because my SIM card, I can't go for the SIM card because they said the Ghana card is damaged. And since it's damaged, I need to do replacement.
Our Ghana card has lost. So we come to renew, take another one. So they say they are on strike, so that's why we are here right now.
How urgent do you need the card?
You see, we are houseless and we want to take some okarabi and be riding. And the person say we need Ghana card to guarantee it. And we need the motor. Yesterday we went there and the person say unless we bring the Ghana card.
I'll be going to the university next year, so I'll be needing to fill some forms.
Do you have any other option?
No, so I just have to wait for them to resume.
Well, for the Public Sector Workers Union, they will not call off the strike until government meets their demands. Listen to the Deputy General Secretary of the Union, John Ni Donusampa.
So this strike also involves very critical and essential public services. We have Electoral Commission, we have GBC, we have NCC, we have Ghana Atomic Energy, and so many other organizations. It is amazing how the government side, since we gave our notice of industrial action, has not made efforts to resolve this issue. It is not our wish to stay home. We love our job. But the problem is that we cannot be taken for granted while others are given, but we are discriminated against. And so our strategists have decided that until the government respond and address our concerns friends and negotiate and give us an acceptable allowances, also to commensurate whatever is given to other people in the public service, we should not return to work. And that is exactly what is going on. This strike has really affected a lot of organizations. There are a lot of programs that have been cancelled because of it. I know some of the organizations that call me, they have workshops, they have educational programs, they have many other programs that because of this strike.
Well, it appears this will last a while longer because the Director of Grievances and Negotiations at the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, Professor Charles Adabo-Opon, has been disclosing to us that the Ministry of Finance is yet to give clearance for the payment of some of the funds negotiated with the Public Services Workers Union.
And as part of the normal negotiation procedures, when we agree on some of these things, you know, fair wages is the lead. But in terms of financial, you know, obligations, everything rests with the Ministry of Finance. So we developed the financial, you know, models or scenarios, as we call it, and we submitted to finance. And we are waiting for the response from the finance ministry. Then we continue, of which the leaders are aware.
But the General Secretary of the Public Services Workers Union, Bernard J., insists government stalled negotiations, hence their unanimous decision to embark on the strike.
The general decision by the structures of the union, the structures met, and this decision is not my decision sitting in my capacity as General Secretary, but the leadership of the union in all these organizations have agreed that the way they have been treated on issues concerning their salaries, the public sector salaries, and then their institution-specific allowances are not right, and therefore we should proceed on this action until our concerns are addressed.
It's a live your news night. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. We are counting down to Saturday, and I found my footballing boots today. I was on the treadmill. Ah. I'm getting fit, prepared for that game between ourselves in the Joy newsroom and the sports team. Mm. But also, of course, I'm looking forward to playing against any institution, because mm-hmm. I know many of them have signed up.
Yes.
And I'm going to leading my team members all the way to the final. Mm. We're picking up the cup, right?
Absolutely.
How much
absolutely
is on the line?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We like money.
Absolutely. We've got it. The cash prize will be unveiled on the day. But top striker, multimedia top striker.
Yes.
Evans Mensah.
Yes. Oh, AKA multimedia Pele.
I mean, fantastic. We're just talking about some of the companies that have signed up, and two companies latest to sign up. We interacted with them. First of all, we're going to hear from the team at Premium Health Insurance. Premium Health Insurance. And in fact, their CEO is throwing a challenge to Multimedia CEO for the CEO's penalty shootout. And he says that he's ready to defeat Mr. Ken Ansah. So let's listen to Premium Health Insurance ahead of Saturday.
And this time we are going to win. We are bringing the trophy home. Yeah. I must say that I'm aiming at getting your CEO, Ken, to come for the penalties.
We'll beat him.
Oh, we'll beat him. As for the football, it's done deal. We will go ahead, and with the volley and others, we'll try and... we don't know how to play chess. So we will leave that one to them. The rest, we are taking everything.
Chess, you don't do chess?
No, we don't do... chess is for Dadama. We are not Dadama here.
So that's the team at the Premier Health Insurance. So I'm not sure he can challenge Mr. Ken on penalties. He's really fit. We've been training him. He's been at the Emirates getting ready for it. But now let's go to ARB Apex Bank, because today we also interacted with them. And for them, they say they are ready to win all the trophies at stake come Saturday at the University of Ghana Stadium.
Mm. And sincere apologies. I understand that we hear it in the studio, but you may not be hearing it. But the point is that these institutions are ready.
They are super ready, super ready, super ready. I mean, Premium Health Insurance, ARB Apex Bank, super ready. And
They should bring some money, the extra money, extra motivation, because everybody wants to play them. The banks in particular, they should motivate.
They have to,
if they believe in themselves, all they need to do is to come and put some money aside, you can also play when you finish.
I've heard a few other banks, about three other banks, have decided to do a late registration, very late registration. So tomorrow, I'm sure we'll be hearing from them. But the event is on Saturday at the University of Ghana Stadium, 9 a.m. sharp. Host about 15 sports and disciplines will be taking place. So I'm sure the draw is going to happen on Thursday. The draw will happen on Thursday. So if you want to do a last minute registration, why not call the Joy from Front Desk or head to My Joy Online and get the details there. But Ivan's top striker. Today we have training, right? We have training.
I did it in the morning, but I don't mind. When Ten Hag took over, what he used to do was to train them twice a day. We want to get fit. I don't mind.
Okay, you've got PM Express because the training is at 8.
I train.
No problem. We'll meet in the morning. Yes. We'll meet in the morning on the Astro.
We're looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see that.
I'm licking
my
lips. I'm going to see you on the field.
The team on Geeks are also around. They're going to be around, Lime and Spoon swimming and all of that.
They'll be calculating
MFI is doing swimming, right?
Yeah, MFI is doing swimming.
Amazing.
The thing about it, though, we need about 15 lifeguards. all around, because...
All right, we'll work on that. All right, that's super sports, Ivan.
By the way, this is your election headquarters.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Shopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging the Gap for Positive Youth Development, and Syntex Tanks. Aye strong, aye tough.
And I take you to the Volta region, where you will find Dr. Mahmoud Baumia, the flag bearer of the New Patriotic Party. He has been challenging the NDC flag bearer John Dramani Mahama to produce the previous government's programs aimed at improving lives of ordinary Ghanaians. According to him, the MPP has rolled out at least 33 programs aimed at improving the lives of ordinary Ghanaians, reasoning the MPP should be voted back into power.
Two people who are at the forefront trying to be president of this country. It's myself and the former president. We are the two people who are trying to be. The former president has been president before. You have seen all the work that he did. He was vice president and he was president. And if you ask him to mention one policy that he has brought to benefit all Ghanaians, he'll find it difficult to mention one, just one. But he has been president before. Just one policy. If you ask me as a vice president what policies I've brought to benefit Ghanaians, I can mention 33 policies that I have brought to benefit Ghanaians that are working. So if you look at the two of us, you have to make one choice. He, the former president, can only be president for 4 years. So when we vote for him, we may not see him back in Adaklu again to give an account for his work. But when you vote for me, I will come and account for you in 4 years' time. I will be back to say, this is what I have done for the people of Adaklu. And if you are satisfied, you will say, thank you, Dr. Baumia. Continue and continue and continue. Let's make history. We've never voted for an NPP MP in Adaklu. Let's make history. Let's vote for Benjamin and vote for Baumia. We are all number one on the ballot. Let's transform Ghana. Let's do something new. It is possible.
Benjamin and Baumia, the BB team there. The NDC presidential candidate, John Mahama, has wrapped up his tour of the Greater Accra region, where he's been promising to modernize key markets across Ghana under the party's market enhancement program. Maxwell has more.
The NDC presidential candidate John Mahama visited the Tema West, Lejukuku, and Okaikwe South constituencies. John Mahama says the NDC's market enhancement program will improve the state of all of Ghana's markets.
we're going to do what we call the market enhancement program. Everywhere there's a market, we'll engineer it properly, build it nicely, pave the floor so that when it rains, you don't have to walk in mud to enter the market. We have to make the markets enticing so that you're happy to go there and buy. The other time, I said that if you wanted to be a baker, we'll help you with the equipment.
The other time, I said we were going to help small businesses to grow. If you want to be a baker, we'll support you with the flour, money, and everything you need. And I said those who want to start a poultry farm, we will help them with the hen coop and the chicks and the money to take care of the chicks. When they grow and lay eggs, they'll make money when they sell the eggs and the fowl. Our friends in the NPP have done an advert mocking what I said, but they did not know even advanced countries reached that status through small and medium enterprises. The successful businessmen you see here in Ghana all started small. We are not shy to say we will help small and medium enterprises. Small and medium enterprises, this is your government.
But see, I'm so a human kitten and peja omwa. On my name, Kobibia. And here, we value the small and medium enterprises. And we're going to help the business people in the small and medium enterprise sector to be able to grow their businesses.
And Adobia is joining me pretty shortly with Geek Squad. And we've been talking about the NSMQ. Adobia, I know I've been teasing you quite often on this particular subject, but you are not alone when it comes to your inability to embrace your school when it comes to the National Science Mass Quiz. As of tonight, at Desadil College, Kumasi High School, Sinyani SHS, and the Ghana SHS Tamale, they were once crowned the regional champions. They've all been knocked out. And is proving that even the strongest giants can stumble. Let's get a wrap quickly of those falling by the wayside at this stage.
Intensity has soared as 27 schools have already clinched their places in the National Science and Maths Quiz quarterfinals. The fall of some regional champions has sent shockwaves through the quiz fraternity. At Desadil College, saw their stripes fade at the crucial stage, leaving many fans in disbelief.
It has been a very competitive contest. At Desadil College, unfortunately, the journey ends for you here.
I'm short of words because this is not really what you expected.
What should you expect from Adizadel?
No, nothing but the best.
Kumasi High School, Sinyani SHS, Ghana SHS Tamale also couldn't rise to the occasion, bowing out after a fierce competition. But it's not over yet. 27 schools are set to lock horns in the quarterfinal stage for the remaining 9 coveted semi-final slots. Only the sharpest minds will advance. After all, is the science and mass survival of the fittest. So while some giants have fallen, who will outwit and claim the remaining spot in the semi-final stage? For Joy News, I'm Jacqueline Ansama Yeboah.
For those of you who didn't participate at all, like the school that I know Adobia is proud about, it's okay. At least even now, and those who tried to participate didn't go anywhere. Adobia, what's up for Geek Squad?
No comments on that.
I know you won't comment. It's fine. What's up in Geek Squad tonight?
What would you do if you searched your name online and realized that there's a Facebook account created with your picture and everything, but you are not the one who created it?
I think I may contact you to see how I can file a report that, you know, gets Facebook to pull it out.
Yeah, so that's what we're discussing this evening, online identity theft. Would like to empower listeners to know what they can do in such cases and even how to detect them.
Okay, you want to stick and stay.
Efia, I've been thinking. Have you noticed the changes in our community?
Kajo, things are really different now. The MPP has really made a difference.
Exactly. Free SHS, healthcare, new factories. It's like a whole new Ghana.
And don't forget, electricity is so much reliable now. I remember when we used to go days without light.
True. The MPP has done a lot to improve the basics.
Ajua is a beneficiary of Free SHS. And now, she is in university.
And that's the kind of leadership we need. Someone who is focused on making things better for everyone. But Efia, still there are a lot more to be done for the development of Ghana.
Absolutely, Kwaju. The MPP has shown that real progress is possible.
On December 7th, let's vote to keep this positive impact going. Vote number one on the ballot. Vote MPP for a better and prosperous Ghana.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret, he said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. and manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Oh yes, it's back. The Joy Sports Invitational Tournament is returning with more thrills and amazing energy.
On Saturday, October 26, 2024, the University of Ghana Stadium, Lagon, will be buzzing with excitement.
And this year, we've got it all. From swimming, lawn tennis, table tennis, arm wrestling, 5-kilometer race walk, the Masters 50-meter dash open to the general public for people aged 50 to 60, the CEO's penalty shootout to the epic battles in men's football, women's penalty shootout, 4x100 meters mixed relays, mixed sack relay, volleyball, basketball free throw, draft, scrabble, esports, Oware, and so much more. Which company will reign supreme? Don't miss the fun, competition, and all the unbeatable Jama Showdown for the Special Team Spirit Award.
To register your company, call or WhatsApp Slevin on 0540106466. Mark your calendars. October 26th at the Lagon Stadium, Joy Sports Invitational Tournament. Proudly brought to you by Joy Sports, the thrill of the game.
Magdan Group, your trusted partner for cutting-edge business solutions. Yomi Yogurt, your nourishing choice. Piva Beverages, a taste you love. Caveman Watches, be remembered. The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone.
Joy Sports Invitational 2024.
I love this station.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion.
Good evening to you. It's another Tuesday evening and we are live on Joy 99.7 FM. It's 7:08. and you are welcome to Geek Squad with your girl Adobia Brichum. Geek Squad is brought to you by MTN. MTN, everywhere you go. Are you one of the 20% of our online population who has ever experienced identity theft? Maybe you or a person close to you. But according to Ghana Statistical Service, over 2 million Ghanaians have ever had their identities stolen online. Now, that's a staggering 20% of our online population. And it means that if you are to pick 5 people, one of them has ever had their identity stolen online before. I mean, from phishing scams to data breaches, online identity theft is really becoming a growing concern. And that is why we are going to show you how you...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.